This is Jay Sekulow in Washington, D.C., an update on the Supreme Court of the United States and the partial birth abortion victory.
Live from Washington, D.C.,
this is my right.
Jay Sekulow Live.
Right given by God.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now.
Live a free life.
Call 1-800-684-3110.
Live in freedom.
That's 1-800-684-3110.
Talking about freedom.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
I will fight.
Yes, everybody. My phone lines are open for you. I'm here in Washington, D.C. at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Jordan's in our studios on the campus of Regent University in Virginia Beach, Virginia. Folks, there's obviously with the situation with Virginia Tech, a national tragedy still unfolding as more information comes available. But I wanted to spend today talking about a tremendous victory that the Lord has provided in these partial birth abortion cases. And the way I wanted to start this broadcast was to let you know, first of all, what has happened in these partial birth cases. If you joined the program yesterday, we got word right before we went on the air that the Supreme Court, in fact, had ruled in our favor 5-4, very close decision. Justice Kennedy writing the majority opinion. Joining Justice Kennedy were Justices Alito, Justice Roberts, Justice Thomas, of course, Justice Kennedy writing the majority opinion, Justice Scalia as well, so that was the five. Against us was Justice Stevens, Justice Ginsburg, Justice Breyer, and Justice Souter. No real surprise there. The really positive development, though, and I will tell you, this is someone that has studied this 50 pages of opinions, both the majority opinion and the dissent by Justice Ginsburg. The thing that strikes me the most is where the court, in the majority opinion, folks, and this is what we prayed for, this is what we worked so hard for, this is what we litigated at the district court, the Court of Appeals, the Supreme Court of the United States, was the statement that Justice Kennedy writes that the government has a legitimate and substantial interest in preserving and promoting fetal life, and it would be repudiated if the court were to now affirm the judgments of the lower courts, which declared the ban on partial birth abortion unconstitutional. The language in of itself in this opinion, folks, is tremendous. The court goes on to talk about it is the lack of information concerning the way in which the fetus will be killed that is of legitimate concerns to the state, talking about the abilities of state to regulate. Now, here's the political irony, folks, and I told you this was going to happen. This decision was not 2 hours old before a member of the United States Senate, the majority leader, who voted in favor of the partial birth abortion ban, then complained about what the Supreme Court said in the opinion. We're going to get into that in just a moment. We want to take your calls. Our phone lines are open. What do you think about this win on the partial birth abortion case? The most significant win on the abortion issue, starting from Roe versus Wade, which was a terrible defeat for our side, and moving all the way forward. The most significant abortion case decided since Roe is this case involving it's Gonzalez versus Planned Parenthood, and it's a victory for the pro-life cause. 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. I told you, folks, watch out for the politics of this. As soon as the decision came out, Jordan, we found those politics circulating very aggressively.
Yeah, it's interesting because, again, Harry Reid, who is said he was a pro-life Democrat, he's a majority leader in the Senate from Nevada, and he voted for this ban ad. But yesterday on CNN, he said, a lot of us wish that Alito weren't there and O'Connor were there. Well, that means that he wishes that the ban was held unconstitutional, the ban that he voted for, because he says he's pro-life. And again, this is something we have to point out about the politicization of these opinions, but also of the judicial confirmation process. He supported this ban, so he thought it was constitutional, and now he's saying he wishes that Alito weren't there and O'Connor was there. And of course, Dad, based on the last time this case was up, if O'Connor were there, it would have been a different way.
It would have been 5-4 against our position, folks. I told you that even with a Supreme Court victory, we've got to be very, very careful about what happens in the House and Senate. That's why I'm in our offices in Washington, D.C. Hey, folks, we've heard from 85,000 of you signing our support of our petition to protect life. This is on the stem cell bill. The president, it's passed the Senate, it's passed in the House. We're going to have to get a veto. The president said he will do it. It's going to be on his desk probably in the next week or so, it looks like. We need your help. Add your name to the petition to protect life, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. to protect and get the stem cell ban put in place. 877-989-2255.
A troubling vote in the U.S. Senate clears the way for the federal government using your tax dollars to conduct research on stem cells taken from human embryos.
The rings of Nazi-esque type of procedures.
What's next? A presidential veto? The American Center for Law and Justice knows that it's now up to President Bush to veto this unacceptable legislation. Legislation that amounts to nothing more than a frontal assault against human life. And the ACLJ is working to provide a margin of support in the Senate so a presidential veto cannot be overridden. It's a critical time to stand for life.
This is really serious. And folks, we got a real, real battle here.
Stop embryonic stem cell research now. Add your name to the petition to protect human life. Call now. 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or add your name online at aclj.org. Regent University's School of Law, uniquely positioned, integrating the study of law with biblical principles. At Regent Law School, the study of law is more than just a profession, it's a calling. Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel of the American Center for Law and Justice.
Regent's motto is training Christian leaders to change the world. And right now, in our nation and really globally, lawyers are at the forefront of global change. And Christian lawyers need to be leading that front.
Jay teaches at Regent Law School, where students receive an exceptional legal education.
The common bond of the students at Regent University is the commitment to academic excellence and being taught from a Christian perspective. We have a wide diversity of students with a wide representation of Christian denominations, and I think that's what makes a school great.
If you're considering a career in the law, consider Regent Law School today. The time to apply, right now. Call toll-free at 1-877-267-5072. There's also more information online at regent.edu/law. Regent Law School, training Christian lawyers to change the world.
This is my right, a right given by God.
It seems to me that your argument is that there's always a constitutional right to use what the physician thinks is the safest procedure.
No, Your Honor, I think that
I inferred that from your comments.
Well, and then Justice Kennedy's opinion, by the way, follows up. That was Justice Kennedy precisely in saying the government may use its voice and its regulatory authority to show its profound respect for the life within the woman. This is right out of the Supreme Court opinion here, folks. On and on it goes. I mean, page after page of great language. I will tell you something that hit me pretty profoundly last night. Let me give you kind of a personal aside on this. And that is, as you many of you remember, we broadcasted from New York City for almost 2 months as the trials went on in the partial birth abortion case. We were heavily involved, as former Attorney General John Ashcroft said yesterday. In fact, I will tell you, he gave us very kind words, and we appreciated his leadership in this. But interestingly here, and importantly, I believe, was the fact that we were able to put forward a strategy that was successful. But, you know, it also takes good judges on the court. And when I went through the opinion with a fine-tooth comb last night, really reading the opinion thoroughly till the late hours of the morning, there's a lot of discussion and a lot of quotations from the case out of New York City, which Judge Casey was the U.S. District Court judge. You remember, Jordan, you had so many of those quotes from Judge Casey where he asked those searching questions. And the one that strikes out the most and reminds me the most was when he used that example of what actually happens. And he said it was like using the lobster claws or salad tongs. And then, Jordan, you have the specifics on this. But that is in the opinion. And Judge Kelly, Jordan, laid the foundation of this. He passed away just a few weeks ago. He was actually at the Supreme Court in November, passed away just a few weeks ago, and his opinion, with the factual findings he gave us, which were very good, laid the foundation for this.
It is, and when you go through the opinion, the majority opinion quotes, it's really disturbing language, but it was the reason that the court in the court that included this in the opinion, Justice Kennedy, it says, the doctor went in with forceps and grabbed the baby's legs and pulled them down into the birth canal. Then he delivered the baby's body in the arms, everything but the head. The doctor kept the head right inside the uterus. The baby's little fingers were clasping and unclasping, and his little feet were kicking. Then the doctor stuck the scissors in the back of his head, and the baby's arms jerked out like a startled reaction, like a flinch, like a baby does when he thinks he's going to fall. The doctor opened up the scissors, stuck a high-powered suction tube into the opening, sucked the baby's brains out, and then the baby went completely limp. And they said the doctor then just cuts the umbilical cord, delivers the rest of the baby, throws it in a pan, and that's it. And that is included in the brief, the description. And that came from a nurse who had worked for one of these doctors that performed these procedures, who talked about it. And, Dad, there have been criticism from the left because in this opinion, they call these doctors that do this abortion doctors, not specialists, but they call them what they are, which is abortion doctors. And they also use the word child, an unborn child, instead of the word fetus throughout the opinion, which is important also.
Yeah, it is. And they also say the word, they use the word fetal life, which bothers them because that's the life of the fetus. The fetus is the unborn child. Right. They also go on to say, and Jordan's right, I mean, the fact that you're using the word life so much, an unborn child and baby, I mean, it's throughout the opinion. But there's a great quote on page 32 of the opinion, folks, and it's the district court for the Southern District of New York, that was Judge Casey who I was referring to earlier, was more skeptical of the purported health benefits of an intact DNE, which is the partial birth abortion procedure. Justice Kennedy writes, it found that the Attorney General's expert witnesses reasonably and effectively refuted Planned Parenthood's pro-offered basis for the opinion that the intact DNE was the safest and best advantage for a late-term abortion. So, look, all the abortion procedures are particularly gruesome, but I wanted to say again a thank you to Judge Casey and in his memory, because this opinion that I'm holding in my hands right now, all 100 pages of it, the 50 or 37 pages of the majority opinion, you could rest assured and know that Judge Casey's work and his great trial work had a lot to do with our victory in this case, and we'll be eternally grateful for that. Let's go to the phones. We've got a lot of calls coming in, so let's go to as many as we can get.
Neil's calling from Washington, D.C. on line 6. Neil, welcome to JSEC Yo Live.
Hi, Neil.
Yes. Now, I had a question. I was wondering, how long has this fight been going on till we actually got to this point where we had a victory?
About 15 years, and here's why it's been about 15 years. The fact of the matter is that there was two attempts to – the Congress had passed partial birth abortion bans in the 90s when President Clinton was in office, but he vetoed them, so we couldn't get them through. And that took about 10 years. There was about a 10-year period of time. And then President Bush signed the bill into law in 2003. And I will tell you, I was at the White House when the president signed the bill, and I actually was in a meeting shortly thereafter with the president. And a number of other leaders and lawyers about the case. And he asked us, I remember this distinctly, saying, we've got to defend this and defend this aggressively. And I had a meeting the very next day with former Attorney General, that was then the Attorney General, John Ashcroft, about this case. And we talked about the fact that the president wanted a vigorous and aggressive defense of this. And we did exactly that. And the Justice Department did that. We did that as well. And it went on for about three and a half years of litigation, culminating in a huge victory at the Supreme Court of the United States. I spoke to the Solicitor General of the United States yesterday, Paul Clement, who did the oral arguments of the court, and he did a magnificent job. You remember, we played some of those. And it's a great victory. There's nothing to say other than it's a great victory. The Lord provided this victory. It was 5-4. It was going to be very close. This is the second positive opinion in a year that we've received from Justice Kennedy. Remember, the Mount Soledad case was Justice Kennedy as well. And that was when we were up for that emergency stay, and we got it. And he wrote a great opinion there, wrote a great opinion in this partial birth abortion case. So I was talking to a lot of friends of mine, the lawyers that worked on this case is with us, and I will tell you, it's a happy day in Washington, despite, again, the national tragedy going on in the Virginia Tech situation. This was a very good development.
Let's go back to the phones. Karen is calling from Idaho on line 3. Karen, welcome to JSEC Yo Live.
Hi, Karen.
Hi. Hey, you know, I was listening to you guys, and I'm almost ashamed that I was not ever, I never made myself aware of all this. I honestly did not know that they were ever doing partial birth abortions until I started listening to you guys. I thought that was something that was a debate to do them, and then when I heard that they had been doing them and that this ban went in, to hear what they do to this baby. We adopted a baby that was 10 weeks early. Born 10 weeks early, and that's about the stage of when they would, you know, abort these
children. Right.
And my question is, if a woman was going to go in to have this procedure done, and then let's say she went into labor a week before that and delivered the baby, would they still walk into a NICU, stick those scissors in the back of that baby's head and perform that procedure and murder the child?
Well, once the child's... They would say once the child's anatomically completely delivered, it was different. Although some of these doctors would say it's the life worthy of life issue. And, you know, in some countries they've advocated for what they call infant euthanasia or post-birth abortion is what they'll call it. So that's not in the realm of impossibility. But this was, as we just said, Karen, as Jordan just read, this child was partially delivered. I mean, everything, the hands, the legs are outside the body, they're moving, and then this horrible procedure is done. But not anymore. because of the Supreme Court of the United States, because of God's grace and the support of our friends around the country, that is no more. You know, folks, I'm in Washington. I can't tell you. This is, of all the cases we've had and been involved with, this is clearly, you got to put this right up there with any of the big religious liberty victories we've had on the proclamation of the gospel, like the Bible Club cases. This is right up there, side by side. These are great. I called it bookends to people. It's a great decision.
Let's go back to the phones. Rena is calling from California on line one. Rena, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, thanks for
Rena.
Taking my call, and
sure.
Congratulations, and thank
thanks.
You, Jesus. What when the Supreme Court rules incorrectly, what vehicle do we use to go to Congress, and can Congress ruling overturn a U.S. Supreme Court wrong ruling?
Well, they can't overturn it, but they can change it, and they could change the rules and try to tailor it to the Supreme Court. The danger you have in this particular case, and we already started. Look, it started yesterday as soon as the decision came out. This was an act of Congress. That's why this battle's not over, because now we need to get the states to implement these partial birth abortion bans as well, because the Congress could remove that law tomorrow. And that statement, and Jordan's got it right there, what Harry Reid said is unbelievable. The Senate Democratic leader who voted in favor of the ban, folks, his language, I tell you, it's a cool wind blowing on this. That's why the legislative side of this is not over. And that's why, by the way, we're beefing up our office here in Washington, D.C., bringing in more lawyers.
Yeah, I mean, yesterday on CNN, right after the opinion came down, he said a lot of us wish that Alito weren't there and O'Connor were there. Now, this is coming from the majority leader who supported the federal ban on partial birth abortion, now saying that he wishes Alito weren't there and O'Connor were there, which is really, Dad, people talk about flip-flops all the time. We're talking about the majority leader of the Senate says he's pro-life, supports this legislation, and if he's saying that he wants O'Connor there, it means that he didn't believe it was constitutional, a ban that he supported and supported pretty vehemently when he did vote for this ban because of his pro-life beliefs that he talks about, now saying that he wishes that Alito weren't there.
Yeah, that tells you the nature of the politics of this. But this is a huge stand for life, a huge stand for freedom, and that's the reason why we're so rejoicing in this. But let me tell you this. At the same time, in one hand, I'm rejoicing. In the other hand, we're beefing up our staff here. We're getting more lawyers up in our national headquarters here in Virginia Beach, Virginia, for precisely this reason. 1-800-684-3110 is our number if you want to talk to us on air. That's 800-684-3110. We're getting ready to take to a break. Hey, folks, let me tell you this. We're at about 85,000 signatures on the presidential stem cell for the veto of the human embryonic stem cell bill. This is related right to the partial birth abortion issue, again, the destruction of human life. We want to get to 100,000 for our Office of Government Affairs. We're very close to doing that, and we need your help. If you'd go to your phones today, I can't think of a better way to celebrate life than this. 877-989-2255. That's adding your name to this bill on stem cell. 877-989-2255, encouraging the presidential veto and just making sure that that veto is not overridden. 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org.
I believe that I'll have a bright future because of the education that I received at Regent University.
Jason Wormuth wanted a top-notch college education grounded in excellence. He found what he was looking for in the undergraduate program at Regent University, which embraces a Christian worldview.
The psychology program that I'm in right now is definitely integrated with a Christian underpinning that will definitely allow me to see the world from a different perspective, to allow me to understand people, to understand their heart, and understand their spiritual needs as well as their mental and emotional needs. Regent definitely is the catalyst for my future.
At Regent University, we believe in leadership to change the world. Learn more at regentundergrad.com. For more information or to apply, call toll-free 1-800-374-4504. That's 1-800-374-4504. Enroll today, and just like Jason Wormuth, you'll realize that when you choose Regent, you're choosing to change your life.
It's definitely just a different culture, a different environment. I definitely feel that Regent University is going to be the propeller that pushes me into my future.
A troubling vote in the U.S. Senate clears the way for the federal government using your tax dollars to conduct research on stem cells taken from human embryos.
It brings up Nazi-esque type of procedures.
What's next? A presidential veto? The American Center for Law and Justice knows that it's now up to President Bush to veto this unacceptable legislation. Legislation that amounts to nothing more than a frontal assault against human life. And the ACLJ is working to provide a margin of support in the Senate so a presidential veto cannot be overridden. It's a critical time to stand for life.
This is really serious. And folks, we got a real, real battle here.
Stop embryonic stem cell research now. Add your name to the petition to protect human life. Call now. 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or add your name online at aclj.org.
Back to the broadcast, everyone. 1-800-684-3110 is the number. That's 800-684-3110. It was just this time yesterday that we got the word. The Supreme Court of the United States ruling in our favor 5-4 on the partial birth abortion case. Folks, a huge, huge victory for life. The most significant victory on an abortion issue since Roe versus Wade decision came out. It's the first time a substantive abortion procedure has been banned. This one, not that they're not all gruesome, which they are, but this one, many of us consider to be infanticide. The court did too. The language could not have been any stronger. So a great, great decision. And it was a huge thank you from all of us to our members around the country. Updated information about this, by the way, and analysis done at aclj.org. So you go to the website at aclj.org. Let's go right back to the phones. A lot of calls coming in. If you want to talk to us on air, it's 800-684-3110.
Rosa is calling from New York on line 4. Rosa, welcome to JSEC Yo Live.
How are you? Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just want to make one observation. I want to let you guys know you are the Archangel Michael here on Earth. And instead of a sword, you're using your genius as a lawyer. And we want to thank you for that.
Thank you.
Also, one more thing, a couple of things, actually. We would like to have the names. I'm very much involved on the Internet. A very politician out there that is that has advocated for partial birth abortion. I want to be able to get their names out to everybody that I know on my list.
Yeah, and that, by the way, that information, Jordan, that's the senators who are for and against is very easy to get online.
That is. You just go to senate.gov. This was during the 108th Congress, the first session, and it's Senate 3 amended, and it's so it's S3. But if you go to like a Google or a search engine and just type in partial birth abortion ban or federal partial birth abortion ban, that website's one of the first websites that's officially run by the Senate, and it tells you all the yays and all of the nays. And of course, there are senators that are voted on both sides that are no longer in the Senate anymore because that was back in 2003. But Dad, something interesting, we're talking about the elections and talking about how politicized these kind of decisions become. The National Organization for Women, on their press release that they put up yesterday after our broadcast, finishes the press release like this: "We must elect a Congress that will repeal this ban and a president who will sign the repeal. November 2008 can't come soon enough." And if that tells you, folks, just how politicized these decisions, and of course, anytime you're talking about the life issue and the life on both sides, how important those elections are.
Well, no, it's critical. And look, who was on the court? If you don't think it mattered, look, take Justice Alito out, put Justice O'Connor back in, and we lost. I mean, it would have been 5-4 decision against us. So, well, one justice made a big difference, and the end result of that is going to have consequences for literally decades. I mean, it's that significant and is that big of a deal. So some very good developments there, no doubt about it.
Mark's calling from South Carolina on line 2. Mark, welcome to JSEC Yo Live.
Hi, Mark.
Yeah, thanks. You guys do a great job. I really
thanks.
Enjoy hearing your reports, and it's a blessing to see the progress. Just a thought that I just can't get out of my mind, and that is, you know, you referenced how horrible this procedure is. And, of course, what happened in Virginia, you know, a few days ago, that's just as horrific. But
oh, absolutely.
You know, the people of our country have just got things out of proportion. There are 3,000 or so babies killed every day.
Well, let me tell you this, though. I don't think the country is out of proportion. I think it's Washington that's out of touch with reality. For instance, when you did polling of Republicans, Democrats, Independents on the partial birth abortion issue, it was generally 70-75% of the populace saying this act should never happen. This bill to ban it was fine because nobody should do a partial birth abortion procedure. So you had this overwhelming support, if you will, for protecting what's called in the Supreme Court opinion fetal life, this idea of the life inside the mother. It was the Washington that was slow, but ultimately, folks, look, it passed the House, it passed the Senate, the president signed it into law, and then we all defended and defended aggressively. And I want to say this. Each and every step of the way, we were involved, from the helping craft the legislation to getting it passed to getting it signed by the president to defending it in the court of the district court, the court of appeals, and the Supreme Court of the United States. Our students at Regent University School of Law had a tremendous opportunity to participate in that, I mean, in a very significant way, in the preparation of these briefs and working on the trial cases as well. So it was just a great organizational effort. And again, it was because of our friends and members around the country that we were able to do this.
Let's go back to the phones. 1-800-684-3110 is our number. So many calls coming in. We'll get to as many as we can. Jack is calling from Texas on line one. Jack, welcome to JSEC Hill Live.
Hey, Jay, thanks for having me on, fellas.
Sure.
I just want to tell you, God bless you. I appreciate what y'all do. I had a question, but before I ask my question, if I can make an aside comment to what you were just saying. It is out of proportion in Washington, and that is because of, you correctly stated, that the politicization of the issue, the party of death just wants to take a stance against the party of life. It's the fact that if we stood, it would be the opposite if the Republican Party in general, I'm not putting labels on any of you, but if the Republican Party in general stood for death, then they would be just as vehemently campaigning for life. They want.
Well, look, I mean, there's Republicans and Democrats on both sides of these issues. You know, it's not just the party label. It's how do they view and value human life. You've got this idea of, and for instance, in the stem cell debate right now, I'll just turn into that for a moment, Jack. We're going to hopefully be able to sustain the veto when the president signs the veto of the bill on the human embryonic stem cell. It will be sustained in the Senate because of one vote. One vote. Senate Democrat Bob Casey. Assuming that vote holds, and we've got to work really hard to make sure it does, we win that because one Senate Democrat took a life position saying, you know what, we're not going to use money to destroy human embryos. Which is obviously to us is the right decision, but it's going to be so. It's not just party affiliation; it's more than that. It's more than party affiliation. It's their philosophy. It's their worldview. It's how they view the issue of life. How they view these various issues. And folks, again, I want to encourage you. If you haven't called us yet, the stem cell veto is very important. Sustaining that veto is equally important. That's where we need your help. You call us. Add your name to the petition to protect life. 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. Who's next?
Brian's calling from California on line 5. Brian, welcome to JSEC Hill Live.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
I'm really glad to hear you guys we've won this battle here. But I'm of the mind that it's like one of the very first ones. I mean, I agree with you that the stem cell thing and this thing, that there's a connection. I'm of the mind that one feeds the other, you know, and because...
Well, there's no doubt about that. If you look at what are both involving, it's the destruction of a human embryo. It's destruction of a partially delivered child. I mean, there is a natural connection to this. There's debate about that. People debate it on both sides. But in our view, it's pretty straightforward. I think there's great progress on adult stem cells. I think umbilical cord stem cell does not require destruction of any human life, and it's shown progress. And the evidence, Jordan, you've been researching this in our government affairs office, is the adult stem cell transplants have worked successfully. But there's no science advocating human embryonic stem cell, which destroys the embryo.
No, and in many states, even in the United States and, of course, countries around the world, embryonic stem cell research is not illegal. If a private industry wanted to pay for the stem cell research and do it on their own. In many states in the United States, that would be okay, and people could do that. But the private industries aren't doing that, Dad, and it's because the focus and where the real advances in medical care are coming out of are the adult stem cells using your own stem cells. That's what they did in England, and now these patients who were insulin-dependent are no longer insulin-dependent by using their own stem cells. But instead, Dad, what's happening is these states, like California and others, have had to go in, and the states fund it with taxpayer money because no one else will. Private industry won't fund it. They don't want to fund it because that's not where the advancements are.
It's that simple, folks. We've got a real challenge here. A great victory again in the partial birth abortion case. It's hard to believe it was just yesterday when these great decisions came out. Great analysis on ACLJ.org. So go to the website, frequent updates. And by the way, if you're not getting our email alerts, we sent out a video alert on this yesterday. I hope we've posted by now that video also to our website at aclj.org. But we sent out a video alert to all of our members around the country that I did right here in Washington, D.C. So I encourage you to go to aclj.org. And as Jordan just said, we're going to be wrapping up the stem cell debate issue and the petition very soon. We need your help on this. 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 to protect life. And check it out, aclj.org.